Well, hi, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Free K 12 Education Talk Radio on April 11th, 2022. Thanks for being with us today or whenever you're listening. We know a lot of people listen on the archives, and we appreciate that. It's the nature of podcasting. Okay, but we love having you listen to all the things we're trying to do in education these days. And as you know, we are the American Consortium for Equity in Education, and everything we do is over at ace-ed.org, ACE-ED.org. Thanks for going over there and seeing all the things we do, including our magazine, which is Equity and Access, and our SEL Resource Center at SELtoday.org, and our new thing, which we're just starting, all this training for pre-K-12 regarding educator shortage. And you might want to go over to teacher-retention.com if you want to check that out. That's linked over there at ace-ed as well. All right. But we also have had, over the past couple of years, our Champions of Equity, our Excellence in Equity Awards, and we've changed that a little bit, and we're going to talk about that today. So today's show is basically about us and what we're doing about equity, what we're doing about access, what we're doing about the audience we serve, the K-12 audience of educators, and the companies that serve them. And we've developed our Excellence in Equity Awards with a changed format, etc. And we brought on somebody that we've known for years in the field, and that's Russ Romano. He's the CEO of September Strategies, and he's a strategic advisor in the field, and he's partnering as the director of our Excellence in Equity Awards with us, okay, to launch the initial awards. And I brought Russ on to talk all about it because we want you involved. We want your nominations, your colleagues, your friends, the companies that you work with, et cetera, all involved working in a circular to recognize people in a bunch of categories. And so I'll bring on Russ to explain it. Everybody, meet Russ Romano if you don't know him already. Hi, Russ. Larry here.
Good afternoon, Larry. Happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you here, and you're right, it is 2. Did I say good morning? Because it's 2 minutes after 12 already.
Well, you know, depending on where our listeners are, it very well may be morning.
That's true, absolutely. How are you doing today? Everything good?
I'm doing really well, and I'm happy to be chatting.
Well, I'm happy to have you here, my friend. Happy to have you working with us as our strategic advisor and awards program chairperson for our Consortium for Equity, our American Consortium for Equity, the Excellence in Equity Awards. I'm just going to swing it over to you. Okay, Russ, tell everybody, what do you – and I know the answers. I'm just asking rhetorically, okay? What do you want to accomplish from all this? What do we want to get
sure.
done? Yeah.
You know what, and as you mentioned in your introduction and as you say every day on the show, right, the consortium is focused on all things equity and access and ensuring
right.
that we are – creating and delivering content to educators, about educators, right? Sharing best practices, all the various things that help them to continue to make progress each day toward those objectives. And
right.
so, you know, our thinking behind this program is, can we take it to the next level of really acknowledging, spotlighting, and celebrating that high-impact work that's happening all across K-12 education from both educators at every single role within our school districts, you know,
right.
from the classroom, support staff, faculty, school leaders, district leaders, et cetera, and including the product providers and vendors that work with those districts all towards those goals, right? Because it's all one team working on providing the best for students. So it really is the fact that, you know, ensuring equity and access for all learners is that non-negotiable priority that we talk about. So we really want to honor those educators and industry leaders who are working on this. And in my opinion, and I'm sure in the opinions of many in this field, couldn't come at a better time
right.
after, you know, I think our third straight extra challenging year amid the challenges of COVID and teacher shortages and, you know, all the various trends that we're seeing and really understanding, you know, there is such tremendous effort happening every single day, and we really wanted to take an opportunity to showcase that.
Yeah, you know, and you're absolutely right. I mean, over the last 3 years, and I'm going to join with you on that, over the last 3 years, we started, I have to say it this way, we started our Equity and Access Journal on our website before the pandemic hit. All right, because this was a huge, huge challenge out there. Okay, and hopefully we and the audience we serve and all the teachers out there, et cetera, the educators, have recognized what they all knew was there, and it moved to the forefront, all right? And over the course of the pandemic, it showed some flaws in the system. And a lot of those flaws still exist as the pandemic wanes, all right? But the equity challenge doesn't wane. We're just doing better. We have to keep it up, okay? It's not a fad. That was for 3 years of what the pandemic showed us. It's there forever. Every kid deserves a good education, and we have to make sure, and Ross, I'm glad you brought this up. We always believe here in industry voice. We try to get best practices out there. We love it when teachers write for us and appear on the shows. But I also believe, as our company does, as our consortium does, okay, in industry voice, because there's a lot of talent in the industry, and it is a symbiotic relationship between the classroom and the industry. One tells them what they need, and the other provides the products and services. Okay, they can be bought and purchased and used to better students. And I'm so glad you brought that up because we want to recognize the educators as well as the industry in all this. And talk, if I may, almighty, what's your official title besides Ross, strategic advisor and awards program chair, tell us how we're going to do that. How are we going to recognize the industry and the educators? And did you like my speech? By the way, did you like my speech?
I think it was a wonderful speech.
I'm running and, for office. You know, I'm practicing here. I'm running. So go ahead.
And you're right on the money there. I mean, over the past several years, I have, you know, I was reviewing some things, and I realized, you know, I've had the opportunity to work on various different projects with more than 80 different companies that work with school districts, and I don't know how many educators and districts, and you know that, and to witness and observe and facilitate, participate in that ongoing dialogue and collaboration and process, and that understanding of, you know, the significant, you know, increase in effectiveness of what can be achieved when schools understand that they have a provider that really understands their needs, that they trust, that that really is showing that consistent dedication to, you know, helping every student, to personalizing, to equity, to accessibility, and you know. I'm not going to say there's zero exceptions, but almost every single company has a very dedicated mission around that. And so as we thought about that, and we thought about what districts are doing, we said, okay, you know, in a sense, this language around equity has fortunately, and it's very, you know, a good thing to see that it has become very commonplace, and yet when a certain word becomes used so many times,
bingo,
you have to take a step back and say, okay, what does this really mean? Is it losing its meaning because we're just saying equity.
I can tell you stories about that one. Yeah, but go ahead. You go ahead. Yeah.
Right. So he said, all right, there are, you know, countless different ways in which equity is being achieved and being addressed in districts for students of all various needs and their current needs and preparing them for the future and what does that mean. So as we were breaking that down, we came up with, and I could have had way more, and eventually I had to say, we have to try to consolidate this, 27 different categories of equity that we wanted to uniquely and independently be able to acknowledge and to dive into and to showcase the work being done. 17 categories on the company and organization side and 10 unique educator categories. And so for the educators and educators who are listening, who are, you know, thinking about, okay, this sounds like somebody I know, right? Educators of any role can self-nominate or nominate a colleague. And we have categories to honor all leadership, faculty, and staff roles, district and school leaders, technology leaders, general and special ed teachers, librarians, mental health professionals, support staff roles, your aides, your resource support staff, everybody in your school, right? Everybody's included here, and you'll see descriptions of the categories once we go live on the 19th, so you can figure out where you fit in there. And then on the company and nonprofit side, they can also choose to nominate educators they know, and I know that they all have several. Plus,
yeah, exactly, of course.
Plus nominate their products or your organization as a whole. There's 17 categories there: accessibility, differentiation, diversity and inclusion, literacy, math, STEM, career readiness, online and blended learning, SEL, company leaders. And we also have a special category for best Canadian company presented by our friends at Mindshare Learning Technology. So that's not even all of them. that's a short list. There's way more there. But just to say, you get a sense even from that of – you know, each of these is a unique element, and the work that's happening to increase, you know, access to various subject areas, right, or to increase equity and student well-rounded support in all they need to be showcased independently so that we really get a true picture of how tremendous this work is.
Yeah, it really is, and it's really so important, and we can't let these kids fall behind again. Okay, that's why we want to encourage teachers in the industry to be very aware of what's going on out there, okay, and help us along with this and nominate the right people. And speaking of that, I'm just going to give you a funny example. You said, you know, we have the nomination process, and I should say everything we have right now is up on site at ace-ed.org/awards, and you can go over there, and there's even a, you know, a little icon up there, but it's ace-ed.org/awards. And I'm curious, you know, when you say, let's say, self-dominate, just to use that as an example, well, there must be some criteria. You can't just write, I like equity, and we're going to look at that. Okay, what's the criteria you come up with? How do you want people to do that, look at themselves or look at others?
Right. I mean, I wouldn't debate that, but yes, we do
have
it
structured. I mean, I like
equity.
Let me put it this way. You can nominate yourself with I like equity, but you're probably not going to win. Okay, so.
Right.
Yeah,
we have to give our judges something to work with. So we came up with a submission process that is designed to be both substantive enough to truly allow our nominees to describe and articulate the specific ways in which they are working toward equity in their chosen category, but also to make it a process that's not going to take a long time to complete. You know, that's very accessible,
you don't have to
write for lack of a better word,
7,000-word essay,
Right. So as Larry mentioned, ace-ed.org/awards. So right now you can go to that page. Most of this information is up there, and you can actually enter in your email address to make sure you get a reminder when the nomination process officially opens on the 19th. But, you know, most of it is there already, or you can come back next week and check out the page, and you'll be able to actually start submitting your nominations. So the process is designed to be open from April 19th until June 30th. For educators, if you're nominating yourself, nominating one of your peers, you know, you just choose the appropriate category or multiple categories if appropriate, and there is absolutely no fee to enter as an educator. Companies, we have a small fee just basically to support the running of the program, but it's meant to be very easy to access and to also allow companies to nominate in as many categories as are relevant, because as you look at them, you'll see, okay, we're doing something here and there and here. So you'll see all of that information when you visit the site. And, you know, basically what to expect when you get to the nomination form is, of course, you'll enter the basic information, your contact info and your title and your role and where you work. We have about a 75-word space for either if you're an individual, it's basically your bio, or if it's a company or a product, a brief description of what that product is in general, and then about a 300-word space to describe specifically related to whatever category you're submitting in, how are you impacting equity in that category. And those are the only fields that will be required. After that, there are a couple of spaces for optional if you have a couple other notes to add or you want to attach a few documents or a video or something else that helps your nomination. You're more than welcome to. You're certainly not required to. And we also will be asking, certainly, for a logo or a photo, and because we want to celebrate everybody. So
yeah.
When it comes time...
Exactly.
You know, when we're announcing our not.
If you're an individual, don't send us your logo. We don't want your logo. We want your photo.
If you have a logo, please. But
individuals,
a nice high quality photo, or certainly companies your logo, because when it comes time, to celebrate all of our nominees, really, and then finalists and winners as we start to roll those out in September, we want to be able to showcase you. So that'll be in there. But realistically, there's about, two required fields where you really will describe the work you're doing. And then there is opportunities to add some extra info if you have it or if you feel like it's relevant. I believe through that process, and we'll have a variety of panels of expert judges, whether they're educators, consultants, others in the field who will be evaluating these to see that they will have enough information to truly understand, okay, I see the work that this person or this company is doing in this area and I understand it, but it also shouldn't be something that's taking anybody too long to complete because we know, time is valuable.
Time is a killer these days. So let me ask you, when we get down to the nitty-gritty, how are we going to celebrate these folks? I'm asking like I'm not involved. I have to do that. I am involved, obviously, okay, it's our consortium for equity. But I want Ross to take this and really explain it. So, Ross, how are we going to be celebrating these folks?
Sure, that is a great question.
Thank you. That's why they pay me the big bucks. Yep.
Step one is every single nominee will get a digital badge that will show that they were nominated for an Excellence in Equity Award. We believe that's tremendously important because, we are really hopeful that because we know so many individuals and organizations are doing tremendous work in this area, that there's going to be lots and lots of nominees. And, it's not possible for everybody to end up as the winner, but we truly do believe all of our nominees are winners. Their work is tremendously important and valuable. So even to be nominated means you're doing something great. So every nominee will have a digital badge to say that they were part of this program. And then we also will have badges that will indicate once we get to the finalist and winner stages. But that's step one. As far as celebrating on social media, again, our intention is that we will have an opportunity to celebrate every nominee on social media because, the fact that you are doing this work, and we want people to be able to learn from this work. That's what the consortium is all about.
That's right.
So everybody is going to be acknowledged and celebrated on social media channels. When we get to the part where we're starting to announce finalists and winners in the various categories, we'll have press releases going out to announce folks. We'll also create template press releases for your various organizations if you'd like to do additional outreach. We'll highlight our winners in the Equity and Access Journal. We'll have, a variety of features in there over the course of the year to show who were the winners in various categories. Also on this very podcast, there's going to be opportunities to highlight some of the winners.
I was going to say that.
Right?
I was going to remind you of that. Yeah.
Right. So if you're listening today, this could be you. We'll be doing media outreach as well, particularly for our educator winners, that we really want to make sure that it's known what you're doing in your local communities. So we have a team that will be working to follow up locally with the various communities, districts, towns, cities, where our winners end up being located. We don't know where that will be yet. But to make sure that your local media, your newspapers, your TV stations, et cetera, know that you won this award because we think that's really important.
Yeah,
and there's going to be more opportunities to follow. That's not a small list so far, but there's going to be a variety of other things that will be upcoming that we just want to – it really is, even though the submission process and the timeline for the announcements and everything is happening over a course of several months here, this really is a year-long process for being able to honor and celebrate, everybody who's contributing to these efforts. So there will be a lot more to come.
There's going to be a lot more to come. And I'm going to say what I said at the beginning again. One of the challenges, I don't want equity to become a buzzword. And I found, and Ross, this is true, but when we first started all this 4 or 5 years ago with the magazine, whatever it was, okay, people would say, oh, yeah, we're involved with equity. I would talk to a company or whatever, and I'd say, what are you doing in particular? And they couldn't even define it, and they really couldn't even say, okay, what they were doing, all right? Mm-hmm. It just was nebulous, all right? It was very nebulous. But the pandemic, I don't know if this is the right word, took away the nebulosity. It was concrete. There was a real challenge out there. And I'll tell you, school districts and everybody did the best they could when all of a sudden this came to the forefront. And I'm going to say it again, we cannot let this slip back. All right? This is in every area of education. It's for every kid. And for years, okay, there was that cartoon, you know this, Ross, about the kids peeping over the fence. You know, one kid's on a box that's too high, the other one's on a box too low, et cetera, et cetera. You got to give it so that every kid has the right size box, okay, for what they need. If you give them all the same equal box, okay, you're going to have the same problem as they peek over the fence. One's going to be too short, one's going to be too tall, and one's going to be just right. We want them all just right.
Right.
We want them all mm-hmm. just right. And it's tougher now with the pandemic and all the challenges out there, the post-pandemic, to do this. And we're going to – that's why we've highlighted these awards, to highlight the good work that people are doing and show the best practices that are out there in terms of equity and in terms of accessibility. And accessibility is accessibility to learning. Okay, it's not, and this is important, it's not building a ramp for a child or a student who needs it. That's one type of accessibility. The accessibility we're talking about is accessibility to learning. Okay, and everybody should have accessibility to great learning. And that's what equity is all about, giving kids, each individual kids, what they need. And we want to celebrate the teachers and school districts and principals and superintendents and companies that are doing that. That's my second speech for today. Ross?
Right. And, yeah, but that's exactly right. And a major thing about these equity efforts, whether it's
You can't top my speech, Ross. You can't top my speech. Okay?
I wouldn't dream to.
Thank you. No, who would?
But yeah, I mean, it is true on both the company, you know, the provider, yeah. the vendor, the support side, and in the schools, that these efforts are both, you know, inward looking and outward facing, meaning that, as you mentioned, with the pandemic being one factor that really forced a lot of organizations to take a much deeper look and say, okay, how are we truly impacting equity? How are our efforts actually achieving the goals that we say they're achieving, given that this is the situation that's really laying that all bare? But that also happens consistently. And, you know, so much of the work that I've done and have been doing with various organizations is saying, one, you have to really take an honest and critical look at your efforts and what you're doing. And in a sense, you know, sometimes niche down and say, okay, what areas is our work super relevant to? We can't, if you're trying to be everything to everybody, then you're nothing to nobody. Right. So, and I think, you know, even though that's not exactly the intent of this program, I think even the very process of going through and filling out nominations here will help in that regard to say, okay, yes, this is the area, right? Now we can really focus on describing exactly what we're doing in this area, and that will help others to truly understand the impact of that work. But also, you know, it is an ongoing dialogue. It's an ongoing dialogue, as we've said, between companies and between educators and administrators, but you know, also between families and communities, you know, parents, guardians, students. It's incredibly important that there is an ongoing discussion and not only transparency, but effective communication around this work and what it means, because so many of the, you know, failures of maybe appreciation of what these efforts are comes down to that there was a lack of proactive communication around it, right? If a school district isn't doing a consistent enough job of communicating to their, you know, the parents of their students about the various things they're doing, then the parents don't know that it's happening. And they have, you know, you have way of being excited about it if you don't really know what it is. The same thing, you know, when we talk about companies who think, okay, we have this really great product and we think it'll really help schools. Well, how are you communicating that? Do the schools understand that? Are you making sure that you're actually telling them how it meets their needs, or are you just telling them how great you are? You know, so if we have this dialogue more ongoing where everybody is involved and everybody is really getting access to what the other stakeholders are doing, that's the way to do it. Because, it's a cliche, but it takes a village, right? It takes all of these various stakeholders and parties and contributors to make sure that every child has the education they deserve. It doesn't happen just because there's only a teacher, there's only an ed tech company, or there's only, you know, everybody really does need to work together because it's a big job.
It does. We're going to bring the village together with these awards. And Ross is in charge. You want to learn more, go to ace-ed.org/awards, but we're going to get the word out continually here on the show and everywhere else we do. Ross, thanks a million, buddy. You're doing great with this. I'm really looking forward to seeing how we work it all together and the success it's going to be. Thank you. Thanks,
buddy. Yeah, it's my pleasure, Larry. And, if anybody is hearing this and they're interested in learning more, of course, head to the website, as we mentioned. We also have an email address set up, awards@ace-ed.org.
Oh, yeah.
That
you.
If
I
you
forgot.
See
yeah.
something that is, you know, you're not sure about, or you have a question, or when we open up the nomination process, if you're thinking, I'm not sure which category I should do, or anything like that, send an email, awards@ace-ed.org. And one more thing you will see on the website if you're visiting it and you're with a company is we do have a variety of other ways to get involved, specifically through sponsorships and partnerships where, you know, we have a variety of categories. We have everything from category sponsorships at almost every single one of these categories to overall program-level sponsorships. And so we'll have year-round benefits around that between, you know, placement on the program materials and digital ads and features in the magazine and podcasts and et cetera. And, of course, you'll be highlighted to, you know, the entire participant roster as a key supporter of that work. So that's something you can learn a little bit about it on the website, but of course, you know, just send an email, awards@ace-ed.org, to get all the info.
Wow. We're doing good. This is going to be huge. Thank you, Ross Romano. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Larry.
You're welcome. You take care. I'll talk to you soon. Promise.
Right.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody, that's the one and only Ross Romano, and I've known Ross for years, and I'm so glad he's working with us and managing all this. It's really something we're proud of. Please get involved at ace-ed.org. Everything we do is over there, but there is an awards icon, but you can go ace-ed.org/awards. It'll take you right to the site. See what else we're doing over there as well. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks so much for listening. Everybody, nominate.